Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Zach Seiko. Zach, I think it took us all off guard. It's conference championship week for the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, we're talking about another game of football, right? And we're talking about the best team in the country, in the Oregon Ducks. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, they're number one for a reason.
Yes, this season, among more so than any other season, this going undefeated was a difficult task, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But first, it's funny how this transpired. The conversation a week ago was, do Penn State fans even want Michigan to beat Ohio State so Penn State could go to the conference championship game? And I got the sense that most folks were just happy to say, look, let's avoid that game. Let's get healthy. Let's get that 5 or 6 seed, get a home playoff game, and go from there. Have you gotten the sense yet that the fans have kind of turned that around and are now embracing the possibility of playing for a conference championship?
I mean, I certainly am. So I don't blame anybody else for having that same, because I changed my opinion, my thought process regarding this. Because in the past, we have seen conference championship games, if they do not go well, they penalize the losing team. Well, Penn State isn't going to lose everything here. They're not going to lose a home playoff game. They're honestly, I would say that they're guaranteed the 5th or the 6th seed, which is where they were going to end up if they sat at home as opposed to playing the Big Ten championship game. So this opportunity to get the 1 seed, potentially, right? If Texas in the SEC championship, but the opportunity's there and it's a realistic opportunity, then, okay, you don't get the 1 seed, you get the 2 seed. Then you get the bye week. You get that bye into the quarterfinals. Disappointing because you don't get that home field playoff game. But Penn State, it was either get the bye week now or get the bye week later, a chance at the bye week later. Penn State also has another opportunity to just kind of create some brand awareness here. I mean, this is Oregon. This is the team that was one of the favorites, Georgia and Ohio State as well, to win the national title. Penn State can make a statement if they beat the Oregon Ducks here, whether that's by 1 point, 10 points, whatever. That's huge for Penn State when they are considered the second-tier program. Oregon, Texas, Georgia, Ohio State, the teams that I just listed, everybody looks at them as, okay, they're the current lead. They are the class of the elite. And Penn State is in that next group. So that can change, or that can at least put Penn State in the conversation. If they lose to Oregon, the stigma continues, right? And so there's no change there. It's not like, oh, Penn State's going from elite to, wow, like, they're vulnerable. No, they're going to stay in the same spot. So it's a lot to gain and really nothing to lose.
I agree. And first of all, I was one of those also who a week ago, and I don't know if it was just because it didn't seem like there was a real path to this championship game. I could not picture Ohio State losing to this Michigan team, especially not at home.
Yeah.
But as we're watching this game, that game in the press box, I'm starting to warm up to the idea that, hey, as you said, it's another game of football, which is always great, but this is a chance. Hey, this is a Penn State team that had last appearance in the conference championship game was 8 years ago. So this is not an everyday occurrence, an every season occurrence. And I think after the loss to Ohio State, Penn State fans just got settled into that, okay, we're 2nd or 3rd best in the Big Ten behind Ohio State. And then when the reality struck, it's like, hey, wait a minute. This here's real. Now, I want to hold off to the next segment to talk to you about specifics with the Penn State-Oregon game, but let's first talk about how this season has wrapped up. First of all, let's take a quick look at Penn State, Maryland, just to wrap that up.
Sure.
Blowout. I think everyone expected Penn State to do that. But again, that old bugaboo, that slow start. Off turnover by the offense, that quick hitter by Maryland for the touchdown. That was essentially it, though, for Maryland's offense. But Penn State's first four possessions, Zach, it was the fumble, four plays, the field goal. They didn't get a first down. Then two, three and outs. What did you see in that slow start? Why is Penn State back to that starting slow again?
I mean, was it really a slow start? Because it did finish 31-7 at half, right?
Well, it did. Now, the first four possessions, I don't want to dismiss a fumble because it's the reality and you don't want turnovers. Fumble on the first play from scrimmage, that was the first possession. And then the next three possessions, they didn't get a first down. So they went four possessions without a first down. And let's see, a total of 11 yards gained in their first four possessions. I guess, yeah, I would call that a slow start. I know the second quarter it turned around very quickly, but those first four possessions, Zach, not good.
I mean, was it lightning quick? Absolutely not. But at least Penn State is kind of, they're closing the gap on the way that they start these games. So it used to be, oh, middle of the third quarter, that's the turning point for Penn State. So the fact that early second quarter or late first quarter, that's when Penn State finds its rhythm, that's still a step in the right direction. So Penn State is at least getting better. I mean, Washington, because you had the issues against Minnesota. You had a not so great start against Minnesota, but at least Penn State is shrinking the time to get into rhythm. Granted, it helps when you play different opponents, right? It is easier to get into Purdue. It's easier to get into rhythm against Purdue than it is the likes of Minnesota team on the road here, and certainly the case against Oregon. But Penn State is long away from Bowling Green, USC being down by two touchdowns, because that was the extreme of the slow starts. And now you're here where it's, well, the first couple of series weren't great, and then Penn State turns on the Jets in the start of the second quarter.
And yes, when they did turn it around, they really did. And I think that times it feels to me, Zach, like they're trying really, really hard to establish the run game. And sometimes they're sacrificing their ability to get the ball down the field in trying to establish the run early.
I mean, you have to set up the run. The thing that always travels with a football team, regardless of weather, atmosphere, is your ground game and your defense. Okay, those are football condition non-dependent. So Penn State and Andy Konolnicki is a run-first guy. He just happens to have a former five-star quarterback and a future top NFL prospect in Drew Aller to work with. But the strength of this team should be the ground game. Unfortunately, it's not. It's Drew Aller and Tyler Warren, because the wide receivers don't pick up any slack. And then the offensive line in run blocking and pass protection, they're decent. They're respectable. But it's Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen doing all this heavy lifting. The offensive line just does not have enough push up front. And that's why the ground game is average to below average at times. And the Nicholas Singleton helps bail them out with a big play or two. It's really, I go back to the offensive line, but you need a ground game. You need a ground game to establish dominance, control the pace of the game, not allow the opposing offense to get into rhythm, and then to close out the game. When you have a lead and you can't run the football, good luck closing out a game in the fourth quarter, because that's what separates great from good teams and then elite from great teams, because Penn State's a great team. Oregon currently is classified as an elite team. If Penn State wants to go from great to elite, they need to establish the ground game. That's a huge key.
And let's look at the other side of the ball here, though. The defense, like I said, they gave up that first play. after, which was well designed, very good throw. Kudos to Maryland for that one. But after that, the Penn State defense looks like it's really rounding into form. And it starts with Abdul Carter, and also add in Deny Dennis Sutton, the two defensive ends.
Having Abdul Carter certainly helps. Everybody calls Tyler, well, Penn State and James Franklin say, hey, we're going to beat the drum. Tyler Warren is the best tight end in college football. Why not the same discussion for Abdul Carter as the best defensive end in college football? Because remember the discourse that we had, Jim, around the Penn State fan base, that Abdul Carter needs to move back to linebacker, and the fans know better than James Franklin and this coaching staff, and why did they do this, and there's no depth at linebacker, and Abdul Carter is not making the position change, he can't comprehend it, he needs to go back. And now he's just casually the best defensive end in the country, and that is objective. That is truly objective, because if you remove the first three games where he did nothing, or was bad, because the first two games he was bad, West Virginia, Bowling Green, the tape, the analytics say he was bad. Games three and four, he just didn't have an impact. He wasn't bad, he wasn't a liability, but he wasn't an asset either. Ever since game four, he's been a game wrecker. He's been elite. So if you remove those first four games of the season, Abdul Carter, since the first quarter of the season, is objectively the best defensive end overall in the entire country. And he did that in one off season. He made this position change in one off season.
And I think that it's reflected in the way the entire defense has been playing recently, Zach.
Mm-hmm. All right. Absolutely.
Yes. When he's playing well. And again, it also helps having a healthy Deny Dennis Sutton on the other side, just so defense can't just say, hey, Penn State's defense is one-dimensional. To have both sides, and of course, the safeties, the rest of the defense is playing pretty well also. All right, Zach, that's going to be it for quarter number one. When we come back, it's time to look forward. It's time to look at a conference championship game and look at those Oregon Ducks. We'll do that when we come back. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Zach Saco. Zach, make sure you tell our listeners where they can find everything from you, Zach.
Well, I appreciate that, Jim. So I am the host of Locked On Nittany Lions. You can find that on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Daily episodes, a lot of bonus content this week for Penn State versus Oregon and everything else in between, because basketball and wrestling are still going on. So it is a heavy dose daily of Penn State sports over at Locked On Nittany Lions.
Make sure you check it out. Get yourself your daily dose of Zach Saco. All right, Zach. It's time to look forward. It's Penn State, Oregon conference championship game week. It's really exciting. It's interesting. In the press box, I was having a conversation with a few folks around me when it became obvious Penn State was going to beat Maryland. It was going to be the game against Oregon, and start guessing the point spread for Penn State, Oregon. The consensus was 5-6 points, Oregon as the favorite. Mm. It came out at 3.5 points. Now, I haven't looked in the last day or two to see if it's changed at all. Were you surprised at all about the spread?
Not so much, because this is a neutral site game. I don't. Penn State and Oregon too, in this same breath, did not get to the Big Ten championship by accident. Penn State is 11-1 and defeated 10 Power Four conference opponents. Ohio State couldn't even do that. Okay, Ohio State lost to Michigan, a team that I think Penn State would have beaten by. And I know that's the game, it's a rivalry, so there's a lot of other circumstances that aren't going to be the same when you apply them to hypothetically Penn State versus Michigan in that game. But Penn State found a way to beat Minnesota, found a way to beat USC. Ohio State, I think on paper, is still one of the most talented teams. Them and Oregon are on paper the most talented teams in the country. But you have to be able to find ways to manufacture wins. Ohio State did not, and that game was in Columbus. Penn State did when they were at Minnesota, when they were at USC. Backs against the wall, season will definitely look a lot different with a loss at either of those places, and they were able to manufacture a win. Same thing with Oregon, at Wisconsin. Upset alert, but they found a way to manufacture a win. That's a playoff team. Those are playoff teams. Oregon did the same thing against Ohio State. They found a way to manufacture a win.
And this season, I think that's the case even more so. All right, what do the fans need to know about Oregon going into this game, Zach?
Ooh, I mean, there's a lot. Oregon, you can rarely find a weakness on this team. Because I can point to, okay, Washington and Minnesota, this is where they're lacking, and this is why they aren't great. They got a veteran quarterback that makes very few mistakes. Dylan Gabriel's well-traveled and is as efficient as he gets, and he will probably be invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony. Whether or not he wins, different story, but he should get an invitation. NFL running back in Jordan James. Three-headed monster at wide receiver. And that's a matchup that I'm looking at between Penn State and Oregon. How do you defend Tez Johnson, Evan Stewart, and Trayshawn Holden all at the same time? Oh, then there's a world-class athletic freak at tight end named Terrence Ferguson. So then you have to account for a fourth option. So if you happen to get, there's going to be some luck involved, because I think Oregon has the matchup advantage when it comes to its wide receivers versus Penn State's defensive backs. If Penn State somehow is able to close the gap on that and limit those wide receivers, you're going to take attention away from Terrence Ferguson, and then that's when he can really hurt you. Oregon's offensive line is sound. If you're going to get any bonus points against Oregon, if you're going to expose any sort of weaknesses, it is in the interior of Oregon's offensive line. I would say if you had to classify, it's just not as much of a strength. It's not necessarily a weakness. It's just not as much of a strength. But then defensively, so I'm talking about Oregon's offense. Oregon's defense might even be better. They have two elite defensive tackles. They have three or four different pass rushers on the edge. Guys who have been banged up that are still, for example, Jordan Birch is leading the stat sheet, and he hasn't even played a full season for them, and he's one of their leading pass rushers off of the edge. And I worry about a Nolan Rucci compared to an Anthony Donko. That is a major mismatch for Penn State. And then they have linebackers that can cover, they can stuff the run, and a secondary, again, not as much of a strength, but it's certainly not a weakness. But it's Penn State's wide receivers versus Oregon's secondary. Oregon definitely has the advantage there.
All right, then let's look at this from the Penn State point of view. What do the Nittany Lions need to do if they're going to win this game?
I think the Nittany Lions have more star power condensed. It's not Oregon. Oregon is more spread out in terms of the amount of quality players. So it's quantity versus quality in this case. Penn State has Abdul Carter and Tyler Warren on offense and defense. Oregon does not have a player that can just take away, limit either of those players. They are going to have to chip against Abdul Carter, leave Jordan James, the running back, in as extra protection, maybe roll away, because that's Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel's a left-handed quarterback, so he's going to have to roll away potentially. Maybe they move the pocket to his non-dominant side. How is he throwing on the run away from his natural throwing ability, right? As a left-handed quarterback, because that's where Abdul Carter is going to attack from. Can that left tackle in Connerly Jr. win that matchup more often than not? Probably not, unless he gets some help. Okay, that opens up the door for a deny Dennis Sutton, a Zane Durant. So if they're going to sell out and say, all right, we're taking away Abdul Carter, we're taking away Tyler Warren, that opens up opportunities across Penn State's offense and defense for other guys to make plays.
And you always look in big games for your stars to make plays. That's when you expect them, the cream to rise to the top. You gave the two biggest names in Abdul Carter and in Tyler Warren. Let's talk Drew Aller against this defense. Sure. I've been beating the Drew Aller drum all season, Zach. I think he's much better this season than he was a year ago. Really improved in a lot of ways. And I think in a lot of ways, the coaching staff has not turned to him to carry the team. And I believe that we've got to see the best of Drew Aller. We've got to let him, I don't want to say carry the load, because you do want to establish the run, as you talked about earlier. But I think if they're going to be an Oregon team, Drew Aller has to come up big. I don't think this is the kind of game where he throws only 15, 18 passes. I think he's going to need to do more.
Unfortunately, Drew Aller is not, I would like him to be Superman, but there is only so much he can do, because I look at those matchups, especially if Trey Wallace is unavailable. And Oregon does throw the kitchen sink at trying to limit Tyler Warren. Who steps up, Jim? Amari Evans? Amari Evans is just just a deep threat. The scheme helps with that, but there is not another player aside from Nicholas Singleton that can do something on his own, that can create on his own. And that's the unfortunate reality. Julian Fleming or an Amari Evans, as I have mentioned, or a Liam Clifford are very dependent on play calling. And now we're seeing Catron Allen take a bit of a step back here at the worst time possible. So if Nicholas Singleton and Tyler Warren are schemed out of the game effectively or just double teamed, who is going to be that guy to step up? And like I said, Drew Aller is not going to be Superman. He is going to need some help in this case. Drew Aller will keep Penn State in this football game. He is not going to make the costly mistakes. I hope he doesn't feel any sort of pressure if they are trailing in this game, which is kind of what I'm expecting, that they're not going to be able to come back. And then that's where Drew Aller makes a costly mistake because he feels like he has no other choice. We've seen Drew Aller get overly emotional. And at some point, it's against a Minnesota, you can overcome that. Against a Wisconsin, you can overcome that. Different circumstances because he didn't play in that second half. But Penn State's got to find a way to manufacture offense. The key word here in all of this is manufacture. I've said that about the season. It's the same here, same thing here against Oregon, because they are not going to make it easy for Tyler Warren. They are not going to make it easy for Nicholas Singleton. After that, who steps up? Because I look at Oregon's offense and I see Tez Johnson, Terrence Ferguson, Jordan James, Trayshawn Holden, Evan Stewart. The names go on and on and on and on. And those are the starters. Even some of their backups would start at Penn State. So Oregon has, like I said, a diversity of talent, whereas for Penn State, it's condensed. And that's why Oregon is the number one team in the country.
Okay, Zach, how about a prediction for the game?
Well, I do like Oregon. I picked Ohio State over Penn State, and I picked Penn State to win all other 11 games. Was I completely accurate with those score predictions? Not necessarily, but I had Penn State winning 11 and losing the one to the Buckeyes. The same issues that concern me about Penn State in its matchup with against Ohio State apply now once again to Oregon. Tez Johnson versus Cam Miller. It's not, Tez Johnson slightly better. No, Tez Johnson is a lot better. That's a first round wide receiver against Cam Miller, who may or may not get drafted at the end of his college career. Evan Stewart versus AJ Harris. That one kind of offset. Jalen Kimber versus Trayshawn Holden. That's another one that I favor. So, and across the board, it was the same thing. Ohio State had enough playmakers that can win in one-on-ones, and Penn State just can't account for all of them. And then I look at Terrence Ferguson against what? Tony Rojas, Kobe King? That's a matchup nightmare if you devote extra resources to try to limit a Tez Johnson because you're going to need to. He's a future first round NFL wide receiver. I will go Oregon 31, Penn State 24. I think there's some points, but I do think that Oregon will build a bit of a lead and Penn State's going to have to find a way to come back. It's a one score game. Oregon is not so much further ahead than Penn State, but they are better.
What can we expect to happen in the rankings if Penn State does lose to Oregon, say by a touchdown?
Well, it's a one score game, right? I don't think the committee should look at Penn State's only losses will be by 7 to Oregon and Ohio State, hypothetically. How can you penalize them for that significantly? I think Penn State's locked into a 5 or a 6 seed and gets that home playoff game and a favorable matchup in the first round of the playoffs.
Very good, Zach. That's going to have to be it. Stick around. We have Sean Gold coming in next. He's going to take a look at all of these conference championship games, and he's going to pick some winners for us. So you want to make sure you stay tuned for that. Come back right after the message. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at 4 major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday. LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. I'm Jim Galante. Normally at this point, I have in with me Sean Gold. Not this week. This week in place of Sean Gold is 5-1 Sean Gold. 5-1, my friend, last week. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I've given the listeners enough bad picks that they deserve to hear something positive from me as we get towards the end of the season.
Well, definitely. This was a great week for you. 5-1. Now, my friend, can you keep it going?
Hey, that's the big question. It is conference championship weekend. We better keep it going because we're about to get into a really exciting weekend, and then bowl season is going to be incredible.
A lot of big games coming up. We'll get to those next segment. Right now, we're going to let Sean revel in last week's picks. How about that, Sean?
You know what? It's I've been waiting for this for too long, so I'm going to take advantage of it.
You deserve it, my friend. Revel away. Let's start with the game. Michigan was at Ohio State. Ohio State, huge, huge favorite in this one, a 20-point favorite over – this is a mediocre Michigan team. Sean, I took Ohio State. You took Michigan. You said rivalry game, throw out the records, all of that. And Michigan, I thought what was really impressive is Michigan did this on the road in Columbus.
I did too. I know I picked Michigan against the spread, but the upset here was crazy, especially with how it played out. 10-10, you know, going through towards the end of the fourth quarter. I knew this was going to be a competitive game. I think it brings out more concern for Ohio State. Ohio State could have lost a couple of these games this year. They could have lost to Penn State if Penn State had a better goal line package that game. And it shows that there's weeks where Ohio State has looked like the best team in the country. And then there's weeks like Michigan where you don't know what the heck happened. And with Penn State, if Penn State had beat them, that's a 3-loss Ohio State team that would likely miss out on the playoffs. So that's how much this pendulum is swinging right now with the Ohio State Buckeyes, and they're going to need to recoup going into the playoffs. I'm not concerned about them because they have so much talent, but I would not be shocked if they see an early exit in this 12-team playoff format.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised by anything in this college football season. You mentioned Ohio State bordering on having a three-loss season. Alabama did have a three-loss season. And Georgia, we didn't have the game this week, but Georgia, Georgia Tech may have been the game of the season. It was spectacular. Multi-overtime. Georgia just barely escaped without getting their third loss also. All right, our next game we had was South Carolina at Clemson. Clemson was the home team and a 2.5-point favorite, which essentially said, look, the difference in the spread was Clemson was at home. Typically, you get 3 points at home. This was an evenly matched game. Final score, South Carolina wins it 17-14. You had South Carolina. I thought Clemson, with this maybe a playoff berth at stake in this one, they still could get in with the conference championship game, but I thought Clemson would have that motivation. You had South Carolina and another win.
This one was sweaty. Going into the fourth quarter, down by 10, South Carolina outscores Clemson 10-0. My reason for taking South Carolina in this game was just because of how hot of a team they were. They had been playing some of their best football leading up to this game. Clemson's been, they had their offense rolling for a couple weeks, and then it kind of dropped after their bye week. And South Carolina stayed hot at the end of this game, put together a great fourth quarter and got a win. And now the question is, 9-3 South Carolina, they're not going to be in a conference championship game. Can they get one of those at-large bids? They're on the outside of the bubble, I'd say. But they've all of a sudden put together a good case for themselves.
They have, and got to do the full disclosure. We're recording before Tuesday night's college football playoff rankings. That's going to tell us a lot about that pecking order for that last playoff spot. All right, next up was Maryland at Penn State. Penn State, a huge favorite, a 24-point favorite, Sean. Yet we still both took Penn State. Penn State, we said, was willing to run up the score. James Franklin was going to play to the last second. Boy, did they ever play to the last second, throwing a touchdown pass as the clock hit zero.
Yeah, they did exactly that. Just as we had talked about last week, Penn State was not messing around in this game. They started out a little slow. I remember I texted you at the end of the first quarter, and I said, I don't love this. And then bang, 28 points in the second quarter. That was incredible for them. They should be confident going into a Big Ten championship game now. And I will say, I side with James Franklin. Being a player, when it wasn't your turn to be a starter, when you get in at the end of a game and you kneel out the clock, it's defeating because you feel like you finally get your chance on the field and you don't get to showcase anything. I'm all for let the players play till the final minute. And guess what? If you don't want somebody, if you have a problem with what James Franklin did, have a more competitive team in that game so they can't put their fours in and go score in the final second. I think it's on Maryland. Play better football, and you don't worry about that whole situation right there.
And I think there was more to it. I think there's a little bad blood, Penn State, Maryland, James Franklin, and Maryland. Maryland a few years ago famously or infamously refused to shake hands their captains before the game. A lot of that kind of stuff going on with Maryland. And by the way, I was at the game. Maryland is awful. That's just a bad, bad team. And James Franklin also pointed out, Maryland kept playing till the end also. So just play better football, and you won't allow that to happen. All right, next up is the game. This was your only loss of the day, and you were at the game. Notre Dame at USC. I think we both thought USC at home had played well all season. USC was a 7-point underdog. I think we both thought USC even had a chance to win this game, and they did. They had the opportunity. In the end, Notre Dame, a 2-touchdown win.
You know, and I was feeling pretty good about the cover at 3 minutes and 56 seconds left in this game when USC was marching, and then a 99-yard pick six. And then they get the ball back, and I'm thinking, okay, can you make something happen? And then I think it was a 109-yard pick six. So don't ever expect to cover a game. If you're going to throw back-to-back, almost 100-yard pick sixes in a row to end the fourth quarter, USC was in it the entire time and then just melted at the worst possible time in this game to give Notre Dame a playoff berth.
I think what it also does, we talk about this every week, those games where you feel like you lost, but you felt like it's still a good pick, even in hindsight. With the two pick sixes from Notre Dame, I think we could both look back and say, hey, taking USC was actually probably a pretty solid pick, Sean. And I say that because I picked USC also. All right, next game up, Auburn was at Alabama. Alabama was an 11.5-point favorite. They ended up winning by two touchdowns, 28-14. Both of us thought Auburn had pretty much done what they were going to do the week before when they beat Texas A&M at home, that Alabama would run away with this one. So we both got the win here, even though I don't think a two-touchdown win, a two-score win for Alabama is really all that impressive.
I agree. I don't think it's overly impressive of a win, but we got enough to cover. Alabama desperately needed that win right there. So they handled business. They gave us the spread. It wasn't overly special. It doesn't give me more confidence about Alabama heading in, you know, to whatever comes next for them, but they handled business. They covered the spread for us. So I'll take that one right there.
And Alabama is going to be one of those teams, I think, similar to South Carolina, you know, three losses out of the Southeast Conference. And I don't feel bad for those three lost teams not making the playoffs. But if they sneak in that, like that number 11 seed, that's a scary matchup for somebody, isn't it?
It is. And Alabama still has one of the best wins in the country when they took down Georgia, when Georgia was looking. Now, Georgia's not what we thought they were, but at that time, Georgia was playing phenomenal football and Alabama took them down. So that can happen to anybody. And I don't want to play Alabama just for namesake, you know, if it came to a playoff matchup.
I'm with you on that one. All right. Our final game was Texas at Texas A&M. What a huge game this was. Huge rivalry game. And Texas was a 5.5-point favorite at Texas A&M. The winner of the game gets to go to the conference championship game. And it was Texas, a win. Low-scoring affair, 17-7, Sean.
Really interesting in this one, too, that all 17 of Texas's points came in the first half. So it was a good win that they needed. But I'm still thinking, what is Texas heading into the SEC championship game and heading into the playoffs? Are they a great team or are they just another team, you know, in the mix right now? It's so hard to get a read on them because for what they are, they should have been able to put up more points in the second half and made this game not look close at any point where, you know, A&M was in it for a while. 10-point loss, you know, it was 17-7 going into the fourth quarter. That's an open game right there. So I would have liked to see more from Texas if I'm a Texas fan, you know, getting excited about what comes next. But they did what they needed to do. They got the win. I was not overly impressed, though.
And I think that's the description you could give to several of these Southeast Conference teams and also other teams in the country. But Texas, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, you don't know, even Ole Miss, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week. We're looking for those teams who could I don't mind seeing a loss against a good team, but these are teams that are losing games that they shouldn't lose, where they have so much more talent. And I think it's the same way you described Ohio State.
100%. And the last thing I want to say, if you don't want someone to stomp on your logo and plant a flag on it, beat them. Simple, beat them. And they can't do that. So I have an issue with that as well right there from this past weekend.
And you know what? I'm going to have my comment about that, Sean, when we come back right after this break. Don't go anywhere. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at four major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pregame meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante. He is Sean Gold from Sean's Take. And Sean, when we were wrapping up quarter number three, reviewing our picks from last week, and by the way, Sean was 5-1, I was 3-3. So Sean gets bragging rights this week. Sean, you were talking about the Texas-Texas A&M game where the visiting team, Texas, was looking to plant a flag. We had that in several games, turned into a major melee with Michigan and Ohio State. My couple thoughts on this is, first of all, I don't understand what this is with planting the flag on the other team's logo. You're just looking to instigate trouble when you're doing that. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I give credit Steve Sarkisian from Texas. He very quickly, when he saw that happening, went to stop his team from doing it. Okay. The second part to this, if you're the home team who got beat, you know what? Don't start fighting after the game. You had 60 minutes to fight and you rolled over and didn't fight well enough. Just stop it. Both sides, stop it, Sean.
I don't disagree with what you said at all. I don't think it should happen, but if it does, like you said, if you're the home team, you can't get mad about it. You just lost a game. If you're Michigan and Ohio State, if you're Ohio State, you just lost to Michigan at home, and it wasn't a good Michigan team. So, you know, you only get upset when you're on the losing end of this stuff. And the simple fix, just like Maryland against Penn State, don't be on the losing end. Play a better game, win the game. And guess what? There's not going to be any losing team on the road that tries to plant their flag on your logo. So you can prevent it pretty easily if you win the game, and those teams didn't win the game. But I agree. I don't think it should happen at all. But for what it is, the simple solution is to win.
Exactly. And I still have my lasting picture from Michigan, Ohio State is Ryan Day on the sideline, just befuddled, not doing anything to rein in his players. Just an awful occurrence. All right, let's start looking at next week's game, Sean. It's conference championship week. We've got five games. Let's start with Mountain West. It's Nevada, Las Vegas at Boise. That one they play at the higher ranked team's field. So we're going to get the Smurf turf, the blue turf. Boise State, they're just a 4-point favorite at home in this one, Sean. And probably the Boise State, definitely, they win, they're going to get the bye. They'll probably get that fourth seed. But I think if Nevada Las Vegas wins this game, they will be the group of five reps. So everything on the line on this one. What are you seeing in this one?
Well, we had a really competitive game earlier in the season. 29-24, Boise State won that on the road. And for UNLV, we've seen such a chaotic season with the quarterback changes and the NIL issues there. In the end, though, how can you not love what Ashton Gentry has done with Boise State this year? He's carrying that team on his back, running like crazy, putting up record performances. And it's been a very special season for Boise State. I think they're destined for a win here. I don't see them falling short. So I'm going to take Boise State at home, which I think is a huge factor for this team, -4 to cover. and send Boise State into the college football playoffs.
I'm with you on this one. Boise State, 11-1, and perhaps their most impressive game was the one loss, where they lost by a couple points to Oregon, the number one team in the country on the road. I'm all Boise State in this one. Plus, Sean, you got the star running back on your team. I think in big games, that's when the stars come out. That may be a common theme in my picks here. All right, next up, the Big 12 championship, and it's Iowa State versus Arizona State. This game's being played at Jerry World in Dallas. And Iowa State and Arizona State are both 10-2, both ranked. Arizona State, a 2-point favorite in this one.
You know, for some reason, I just have not been impressed with Iowa State this season. They've had a great season. They've handled business for the most part, but they haven't been overly impressive to me. Meanwhile, Arizona State, in a crazy Big 12, came out of nowhere this year. And just like I said for South Carolina last week, Arizona State is one of the hottest teams in the country right now. I'm going to continue riding that Sun Devil wave, and I'm going with Arizona State to cover and perhaps have the most improbable playoff berth of anybody this season.
That could be the case. I've talked about the Big 12 quite a bit and said you could probably put a game in among 10 of the teams, any two, and put the names in a hat and pick it out, and you're probably going to do just as well. The interesting thing, though, interesting number here I'm going to give you, Sean. Arizona State is 10-2 against the spread this year.
Oh. Yeah.
How about that number? I'm going to keep riding that. I'm going with Arizona State also. They've been playing well. They're hot. Let's go Arizona State. Next up, Southeast Conference. This is the big names, the Blue Bloods, Georgia and Texas. This game's being played in Atlanta. Sort of kind of home game for Georgia. Texas is actually a 2.5-point favorite, even though earlier in the season, the one loss Texas has, it was against Georgia at Austin. So Georgia won that game rather handily. What are you thinking here, Sean?
In this game, I see lightning striking twice. I don't see Georgia losing this game. And we just talked about it on the last quarter. We haven't been overly impressed with either of these teams, but I'm going back to Kirby Smart and how well he has coached in big games before. So I think Georgia still has national championship aspirations this year, and I can see them beating anybody in the country. I think they put together a great performance on the biggest stage here and win the SEC and give Texas a reality check. So I'm going to go with Georgia. It's going to be a great game, but I'm not going to go against Kirby Smart in this moment right here.
You know, Sean, I'm actually going Texas in this one, and it kind of goes against how I typically pick these games. I think of Georgia as still one of the best teams in the country, and maybe they stubbed their toe a couple times, but the reality is they're that good. But just too often, it's not just the two losses. It's barely getting by Kentucky. Boy, did they just sneak by Georgia Tech. So I'm going Texas, and I want to see Texas win this game because I want to see what the playoff committee would do with the three-loss Georgia team.
I would love to see that happen as well. So it's, you know, my heart wouldn't hurt if Texas won that game because I like the chaos, but I think Georgia gets it done. So I got to root for Georgia because they're my pick there. But it would be very interesting to see a three-loss Georgia team and how that committee reacts.
It would be to see how they're treated. All right, next up, surprise, surprise. The Penn State Nittany Lions are in the Big Ten Conference Championship game. And Sean, being here in Pennsylvania, among all the Penn State fans, I think it just took a while to even sink in that their team is in the conference championship game because the assumption was Ohio State would be a bad Michigan team and it would be Ohio State, Oregon. Instead, it's Penn State, Oregon. Oregon, just a 3.5-point favorite in this game, which surprised me. This spread is as low as it is, Sean, but it's Penn State, Oregon in Indianapolis.
I can't wait for this game. Penn State's going to play them really tough. And I'm seeing flashbacks to exactly kind of how the Ohio State game went. I think it's going to be lower scoring than people realize. I think there's going to be a lot of defense. In the end, though, Dylan Gabriel has played some phenomenal football this year, and I think Oregon's going to get this win. I think they're going to cover the spread, and I hate saying that because I want to see Penn State pull this upset off, but Oregon might be the last team where I truly have trust in them in college football this year, and I'm not going to break that trust yet. I think Oregon's going to complete their perfect season heading into the playoffs. Year one of Big Ten, they've shown up, and I think they're going to walk away with this one.
A lot of credit to Oregon to be the only major undefeated team in college football. Although they had some close calls, they did get past Ohio State. No shame there in winning a close game against the Buckeyes. But they also barely got past Boise State. They struggled with Idaho. Then late in the season, they went into Wisconsin, a not very good Wisconsin team. They were down going in a touchdown into the fourth quarter. So they're not unbeatable. But also, I've got to point out here, I'm going to go with the Nittany Lions. I've had a listener reach out and say, Jim, you always go with Penn State. That's true. But I've had different seasons where I really rode the Penn State wave, okay? In 2016, when they last went to the college to the conference championship game, they beat the spread 9 straight games. I rode that way. This year, they are 6-6 against the spread. Oregon, 6-6 against the spread also, interestingly enough. But I think Penn State actually will show that they belong in this kind of game, this kind of atmosphere. James Franklin, this is another opportunity to show that he could win a big game. I think he can. I think he's learned enough lessons. This is not Ohio State, where he seems to just get really tight and conservative. I think they'll open it up. I think they'll play to win in this one, Sean, and get the win that way. All right, our final game is the ACC championship game. It's SMU at 11-1, and a major surprise there. Clemson 9-3. Clemson just won't die. They just won't go away. Miami gave them the opening. It's a 3-loss Clemson team against an 11-1 SMU team. SMU, the 2.5-point favorite.
You know, this has been one of the hardest games for me to get a pick in because it's still Clemson. It's still Dabo Swinney. We know they're going to be prepared for this game. But SMU's had such an incredible season. I just don't trust them, though. I'm going to go with Clemson on this one, Jim.
That is an interesting call. I'm actually going to go SMU because I don't trust Clemson. They didn't win when I thought they were going to their last game of the season against South Carolina. Give me the Mustangs as the surprise team getting the actual bye in the playoffs. All right, Sean, that's it for our show. Thank you for the picks. Thanks you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. With the postseason now coming into focus, excitement is building for a Nittany Lion appearance in the college football playoffs. Now's the time to start thinking of how to make your travel arrangements should the team advance to the playoffs to be held at 4 major bowl destinations over the New Year's holiday: LA, Phoenix, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Get in on all the playoff action with an all-inclusive bowl game travel package brought to you by State College-based Collegiate Athletic Travel, a national leader in sports fan travel for over 50 years. CAT's air-inclusive packages feature round-trip charter, air transportation from select Pennsylvania cities, deluxe hotel accommodations, airport and game transfers, pre-game meal and entertainment events, as well as game tickets, all under the supervision of CAT's seasoned event staff. Traveling on your own can still get in on the playoff action by selecting a land-only package that includes all features exclusive of air travel. Visit athletictravel.com in the coming days for complete details.